Hello. Welcome to Sun Sounds of Arizona. I'm your volunteer reader from Flagstaff, Deborah McFadder, with some excerpts from Yes Media, a nonprofit independent publisher of solutions journalism. We begin today with the portion of the media that's the news section, and in it there is a subsection called Yes Presents Progress 2025. This article was written by Rebecca R. Randall, first published November 25th, 2024. The graphic that illustrates it is an aqua background, and in it it has little drawings or doodlings. They're like the little clouds that we see in cartoons where someone is speaking or sending a message. And these have thumbs up in some of them and thumbs down. Some of them have the little symbol that means you're on Wi-Fi. Another has the symbol for hashtag. Another has little hearts and love written in it. Another is an envelope, like an old-timey mailing. This past spring, a colorful poster displayed a ring of emojis at a student table outside the cafeteria at Maritime and Science Technical Academy, a 6 through 12 school in Miami. Called the Climate Emotions Wheel, the circle was divided into a rainbow of wedges for various emotions. Anger in red, sadness in purple, fear in green, positivity in blue. The poster also included a QR code for students to complete a survey about their feelings related to climate. Sophomore Sophia Bergerim remembers taking the survey. To the first question, "Do you experience any of these climate emotions?" Bergerim answered, "Fear." The next question narrowed down the four core emotions into more specifics. This time, Bergerim selected worry. "I feel worried that one day I'll be in a situation where I have to leave my home, and I'll come back and have no idea what it will look like," says Bergerim, who recalled her survey answers on an October day when school had been canceled due to the possibility of stormwater surge and high winds. While Miami was not in Hurricane Milton's path, Bergerim wonders how soon the city will be in the path of another storm. "These storms are getting worse. There was a hurricane last week in Tallahassee. Next week gets me worried. It's very unpredictable." Sebastian Navarro, who manned the table as sustainability ambassador during his senior year, thinks students at Maritime and Science Technical Academy probably learn about climate change more than others in the district due to the school's focus on maritime sciences. He says students visit the reefs just offshore from the beachside school, but that classwork is focused on cognitive learning, not discussion about feelings. On the climate emotions survey, when given options for what worries them most about climate change, about one-third of students said sea level rise, and another third said biodiversity loss and coral bleaching. Sarah Newman, executive director of the Climate Mental Health Network, says climate change adds another layer of mental health risk for youth and can deepen existing inequities. In 2021, Newman founded the network to provide solutions beyond traditional therapy, which can be cost prohibitive and faces ongoing provider shortages. She sees the climate emotions wheel as a supplement to mental health therapy and believes schools are a key place to address mental health amid a changing climate. This is in stark contrast with the conservative Project 2025, which aims to erase climate change from public education and the federal government entirely. Newman sees the importance in grassroots solutions to support individuals and communities impacted by the changing climate, regardless of what's happening in Washington, D.C. Having climate anxiety is a normal response to the climate crisis, so if you respond to what is a societal issue with an individual approach, you're isolating someone's experience to a clinical setting, she says, because it's the collective experience. The process of navigating our climate emotions, managing them, and healing needs to be done in community with others. A new tool. Multiple reports suggest there is plenty of room for improvement to deepen climate content across subjects and add more social and emotional learning in public schools in the United States. On the National Center for Science Education's 2020 report card, Florida received a D for its lack of climate change content in state science standards. The center graded 20 states at no higher than C+, while 21 states, which all use the Next Generation Science Standards, received a B+. Then, in 2022, the North American Association for Environmental Education found only 37% of states included climate change in one subject in addition to science, usually social studies, and only 10% of climate change content addressed the socio-emotional learning dimensions of the crisis. A 2023 report led by the American Psychological Association and others concurs that more school-based and health system solutions are needed. Newman sees the climate emotions wheel as a tool that educators everywhere can begin using now. It's a bottom-up approach that can skirt the obstacles being thrown up in institutions and governments at all levels. Finnish environmental theologian Panu Pekala, who popularized the idea that climate emotions is a more useful term than climate anxiety, consulted with the Climate Mental Health Network to create the Climate Emotions Wheel. It is now available in 30 languages, including Spanish, Kiswahili, and Bengali, and used in a variety of settings. Everything about the school day is a learning process. It's not just the curriculum being directed by the teacher, said Michelle Drucker, who heads the Miami-Dade County Council Parent Teacher Association Environmental Committee. Drucker also runs a sustainability ambassador program in local high schools, which Navarro completed during his lunch hours. Navarro invited students to enter a drawing for completing climate actions, such as bringing a reusable water bottle, using share tables for uneaten food at lunch, and eliminating single-use plastics. This is also where Navarro shared the Climate Emotions Wheel, which he says received a lot of engagement and seemed to bump up participation in the weeks that followed. Navarro says the wheel helped generate hallway conversations about climate, too, as peers asked each other, "Which emoji are you?" Climate Emotions in the Classroom. In other schools, teachers are adding the Climate Emotions Wheel to their coursework. One of the biggest problems with climate education is not a lack of knowledge, says Kimberly Williams, a science teacher at Smithtown High School West on Long Island in New York. She began integrating emotional support into her climate change units a few years ago. She says her classes would start the year discouraged and apathetic, and that it's easy for the students to feel, "There's nothing I can do, so I should do nothing." Williams tasked her students with using the paint tool on a tablet to shade portions in a circle representing the degree to which they were feeling a climate emotion. A guide then helped them describe their emotions and evaluate their own strengths and possible contributions to climate solutions. Williams concedes that most science teachers do not include this kind of social and emotional learning into their lessons. They don't see the two as interwoven, and I don't see the two as something you can separate. Williams says in her district, most teachers only dance around the subject in an effort to avoid the politics of climate change. To her, that indicates that teachers aren't connecting it to the students' lives. They're showing a graph, not saying, "Why do you think that is?" or "What can we do about this?" In nearby New York City, 52% of teachers in a survey said they teach about climate change, but most only dedicate a few hours per year. A recent state bill, which died at the end of the 2024 legislative session, would have mandated that all grades and subject matters include climate. This bill would have addressed mental health as well, said Elisa Teles Munoz, the K-12 programming manager for the Climate Mental Health Network, at a recent Climate Week NYC panel. When there is climate education, it does need to include safeguards for youth's mental health, said Munoz, who helped write the bill with the National Wildlife Federation. It's not responsible to drop a bomb on a child's brain. Growing support from the grassroots. The Climate Emotions Wheel relies on grassroots leaders, teachers, parents, or others to find ways to implement it, which may limit its reach and impact. Some teachers may not feel supported to include the exercise. Susan Clayton, a conservation psychologist who studies K-12 climate education, considered teacher surveys alongside local politics. She found that teachers from states where school or government leaders oppose climate education felt more anxious. For example, the 7% of teachers in Clayton's sample who were from Florida reported significantly higher levels of climate anxiety. But Clayton found that when teachers perceived parental support for climate education, they were more likely to talk to students about climate emotions. In Miami-Dade Public Schools, Drucker is bolstered by how the PTA can bypass some state or district politics with grassroots action at schools. She advocated for years for systems-level climate action, though Florida schools lack state support for fully embracing climate action. And that obstacle is only getting worse. Governor Ron DeSantis signed a bill this spring that strikes the phrase climate change from state law entirely. Newman also believes there's power in hyperlocal action. One of the climate emotions wheel's strengths may be that it empowers students. For Williams' part, she includes the climate emotions exercise to help students move toward action. At the end of her courses, she asks students to complete the survey again and asks what they would modify from their earlier responses. One student updated the colors in the wheel and said she felt a little more empowered to take her own actions once she wrote them down. Navarro says he is still working through climate emotions, but he feels encouraged by peer support in the environmental clubs at his school. You have the opportunity to advocate for different causes, he says. Recently, students acted on their concerns by advocating for and landing the district electric buses. Navarro says it feels good to know that you're actually making a difference. About the author, Rebecca R. Randall is an independent journalist who focuses on the intersection of religion and climate change with an interest in mental health, child welfare, and social inequities. She is a member of the 2024 Solutions Journalism Network Climate Cohort. She's written for Sojourners, High Country News, and Grist. She is the past science editor at Christianity Today. She speaks English and is a member of Society of Environmental Journalists, Religion News Association, and the Northwest Science Writers Association. You are tuned to Sun Sounds of Arizona, listening to excerpts from Yes Media. Do remember that you can get our stream and on-demand programs with our new Sun Sounds of Arizona app for Apple and Android phones. Next in the news section is another article that looks quite interesting. This Argentine prison cooperative ended recidivism. It's written by David Flyer, and first published November 26, 2024. A color photograph is at the top of the article. It shows four men standing in a library. The shelves start at the floor and go way up high above their heads and are completely packed with books. And they are looking at and listening to a woman who we can't really see her face. We only see her long brown hair that has streaks in it and a beige shirt. And she has her hands folded as she talks to these gentlemen. They're in different kinds of jeans and vests. One of them has on a zip-up sweater. One of them has on a white long-sleeve t-shirt. One man bakes bread while a couple of others prepare pizzas for lunch. Nearby, a large farm buzzes with activity as many men cultivate leafy greens while others tend to chickens. Adjacent to the kitchen lies a soccer field, surrounded by lush plants and a pond teeming with fish. Just meters away stands a library, where several men either watch an educational program on television or immerse themselves in books. In a nearby carpentry workshop, three men work on furniture and model ships, while another room serves as a textile workshop. These diverse activities are part of Liberté, a cooperative association operating within Unit Number 15, of the Maximum Security Complex in Batán, located in Mar del Plata, Argentina. This penitentiary facility houses approximately 1,600 inmates, but many individuals here, deprived of their liberty, have found a way to reclaim some for themselves. At first glance, the entrance to Liberté may appear to be just another barred gate within the prison, yet on the other side of this barrier, things feel distinctly different. When we cross that gate, we forget we are in prison. We feel free, says Ariel, who works in the textile workshop Incarcerated individuals are being identified by their first names only for legal reasons. This sentiment is common among the 80-some men who make up Liberté today. They don't define themselves as prisoners. Instead, through work, education, sports, and cultural activities, they are people preparing to integrate into society. If the punitive model of punishment worked, it might be worth pursuing, says Xavier Aguirreal, who founded Liberté. But what truly works is restorative justice. A different kind of opportunity. In prison, you either become dependent or beg, says Aguirreal, 55, who is known to everyone as Pampa. You come in with a couple of pair of shoes and a shirt, but when those wear out, you cannot obtain new ones unless a family member or an NGO provides them. I didn't want that for myself, he recalls. So in 2014, 2 years after arriving at Bataan, he asked permission from the penitentiary service to launch an entrepreneurial initiative. The head of the work department told Pampa that he needed at least two people to start, so he and his cellmate made a proposal to bring in materials and produce something that they could then sell outside the prison. We started manufacturing wall clocks, Pampa says. According to official statistics, last year less than half of people incarcerated in Argentina were involved in an educational program. Only a third had paid work in prison. But, says Diana Marquez, a lawyer and the coordinator of Victamas por la Paz, most prisoners want to leave their cells and desire to work or study. The problem is that in prison there are very few educational options available, mostly just elementary school, and nearly no job opportunities, many of which are undignified. The Victimas por la Paz Association was created by people who were affected by crimes and now works to promote restorative justice. This organization has supported Liberté since 2017, thanks to Judge Mario Juliano, who believed that model was the best route to restoration. Liberté operates on a self-management model, where each participant is responsible for doing their own work to earn their own money. This fosters autonomy and self-esteem, essential values for successful integration into society, Pampa explains. Liberté has launched various work projects, including leatherwork, carpentry, blacksmithing, radio programming, baking, beekeeping, and organic gardening workshops. There is even a small grocery store where incarcerated people can purchase their food and a restaurant named Punto Tapaz. The meals prepared in Liberté's kitchen have received official permission from the Buenos Aires government to be sold in supermarkets outside the prison. In addition to these ventures, Liberté has developed educational, cultural, and sports programs such as soccer and karate to support personal growth and promote teamwork. Liberté offers something broader than just a single workshop or course. That's its richness. Our lives consist of various interests and needs. Everyone has different preferences, and when I enter Liberté, it feels like a small neighborhood with diverse activities, Marquez says. An effective model for change. If you deprive someone of their rights for decades, what do you think they learn? Pampa says. That human rights don't exist. There are no official statistics regarding recidivism in Argentina. However, the Latin American Center for Studies on Insecurity and Violence at the 3 de Febrero National University estimates that 7 out of 10 individuals who regain their freedom commit a crime within the first year after leaving prison. Prison should not be a place of punishment, but of restoration. When we leave, we should be seen as people like anyone else, not as those deprived of their rights. Over the past 10 years, more than 1,000 people incarcerated at Bataan have participated in Liberté. Of those, 104 have been released, none of whom have reoffended. Moreover, Liberté's vision of self-restoration involves recognizing mistakes and addressing the harm caused by those actions. This is why they created the Victim Support Fund. They donate part of their grocery earnings to organizations that assist victims of crime. Then there's a quote here, "Outside, we didn't learn to love or respect one another or how to share. Here in Liberté, we've come to understand that dialogue through love is essential. And the person who said that is Carlitos. Liberté has changed my life, says Omar during a break in his carpentry work. While at Batán, he got married in a ceremony at Punto de Paz. I've learned to value things I previously overlooked, he says. All of this will help me in the outside world. Here I can do things like I would outside. I don't feel like a prisoner, says Roberto, the current coordinator of Liberté. Before arriving at Batán 4 years ago, he worked as a cook and played soccer for a club. Now he cooks in Liberté's kitchen and coordinates a soccer team. He has learned new recipes and how to manage with limited kitchen utensils. All of this will help me in the future. Otherwise, it would be just a waste of time in jail. More than that, Roberto says he has experienced personal growth that is not always available in the environments in which people grow up. Liberté gives us the chance to depend on ourselves and appreciate every little thing. Outside, I used to be more selfish. Here, I've learned about solidarity, he says. Carlitos shares a similar sentiment. He coordinates the library, which houses more than 5,000 books and offers opportunities for discussions and screenings of educational films. Outside, we didn't learn to love or respect one another or how to share. Here in Liberté, we've come to understand that dialogue through love is essential. Punishment versus restorative justice. Marcelo spent the day selling religious ornaments in Mar del Plata. After work, he visits the homeless to distribute food with a Christian group. After that, he'll travel to La Plata to visit his mother. His life was very different 2 years ago when he was still at Batán. He arrived with mental health issues that led him to contemplate suicide. For a time, he felt guilty and worthless. One day, Pampa invited Marcelo to lunch with other Liberté members and brought him a plate of burgers with French fries. I started to cry. I couldn't remember the last time I had eaten something like that, Marcelo recalls. I felt I was regaining my dignity. And now another quote. Without joy, how can you move forward and experience change? That's by Michael. An engineer and teacher, Marcelo was drawn to Liberté by its library. He soon began participating in various cooperative activities, including restoring an old laundry facility into the current Liberté space. Eventually, he became the cooperative's treasurer, managing the accounts for Liberté's grocery store. This role gave him a sense of worth. When my daughter and son visited me, they didn't have to bring food for us to share. I could offer them a cake made by one of Liberté's bakers or invite them to drink mate with my own yerba, Marcella says, referring to the traditional infused beverage that holds great cultural significance in Argentina. I don't know what would have become of me if I had spent all my time in the pavilion. That sentiment is shared. Prison reinforces resentment and hatred, but Liberté fosters courage and helps us overcome those feelings, explains Michael, a member of Liberté who runs the radio program. In Liberté, you stop viewing prisoners as mere characters from movies. Instead, you see them as individuals with new possibilities who can even find joy within prison walls. Because without joy, how can you move forward and experience change? Broader cultural change. Liberté's innovative approach encourages a fundamental shift in how society at large perceives incarceration. To promote this model, Liberté launched a diploma program 3 years ago in collaboration with the Mar del Plata National University that focuses on restorative justice, social integration, and peaceful coexistence within prison contexts. The program is open to anyone who is directly or indirectly linked to the prison environment, from detainees to prison officers, as well as students and professionals in law, social work, and psychology. The program is conducted online using platforms like Zoom and a virtual campus, along with YouTube. Since the pandemic, people incarcerated in Buenos Aires province have been allowed to use cell phones, which has also facilitated the program's operation. The curriculum combines theory classes with practical workshops and activities, equipping participants with tools to understand and transform the penal system while promoting a vision of justice rooted in care, dignity, and reconciliation. The program was initially designed for 100 students, but has attracted more than 8,000 participants. Preliminary data indicate changes in perceptions among those who held prejudices and stigmas. They have broadened their horizons by understanding the realities of prisoners and now see solutions as a collective effort, stated Claudia Perlo from the Rosario Institute for Research in Educational Sciences in a 2023 interview with RED Association. She highlights Liberté as a model for policymakers regarding prison reform. And Liberté continues to innovate, now developing a popular university based on a German model. Marquez attests to the impact of these programs. Liberté has made me feel free, too. It helps me shed my prejudices. When I come here, I see people, not prisoners or inmates. Ongoing challenges. Despite ongoing legal blocks and bureaucratic hurdles thrown at them by the penitentiary service, Liberté persists. The group achieved legal status as a cooperative in 2021. Every single piece of paperwork is difficult. For example, to create a bank account, a bank manager had to visit the prison, which took considerable time and goodwill, Pamba explains. But the hard work is paying off. In 2021, the head of the penitentiary service told me he had received many calls from various places interested in replicating our self-managed model, Pampa recalls. Prisons in Neuquén in southern Argentina and Rosarita and Victoria in the north have expressed interest in Liberté's work. Last year, Liberté began expanding its efforts into a prison in Rio Grande, Tierra del Fuego, the southernmost province in the country. We are convinced that ours is not the only model, or even the best one, but it's working, and we want to share it, Pampa says. If we do that, human rights and dignity will emerge. We're at the end of our time. You have been tuned to Sunsounds of Arizona, listening to excerpts from Yes Media. From Flagstaff, I'm your volunteer reader, Deborah McFadden.